Hey, Geeklings, it's Em coming to you back from a lovely hiatus. Kate and I are here to talk all about Fear the Walking Dead, which just premiered last Sunday. And also, we'll be talking about deaths that have affected us. You know us, we tend to go off topic every now and then. There's some Arrow, there's some Hannibal, lots of grab bag stuff for you guys. Also, we have a super special announcement hidden somewhere inside the podcast. And guys, we're getting close to September, which means it's even closer to New York Comic Con. So we'll be discussing some con stuff as well. Stay tuned, keep listening, and enjoy This Week in Geek. Of
walking
dead things walking.
Dead things walking. You know, I have someone that I work with who doesn't quite understand the fascination with the zombies.
You know, I wouldn't say that I like overly was a zombie person, and it did take me a while to watch The Walking Dead. I, you know, started watching Kicking and Screaming. Part of the reason for that is the first anything I saw from The Walking Dead was, I want to say, episode 2 or 3. Probably 2. The boy had started watching the show, and I had walked into the room while he was watching it, and it's the one where that kid gets his leg impaled on a fence.
I don't remember that.
Oh. No, it had to be season 2, because I feel like Shane was involved.
I was going to say it has to be season 2, because that's too early in season 1 for that to have happened.
No, it wasn't season 1.
I still don't remember that.
It wasn't season 1. So the kid gets his leg impaled on a fence, and they're like, he's like, take me with you, take me with you. And they have to make this decision, blah, blah. But leg impaled on fence was too much for me. And I was like, this is...
It took Les a long time, too. And for a while, she wouldn't watch it at night.
I mean...
The show was creepy, I'm not going to lie. But no, I was telling my boss today about Fear the Walking Dead and all about the pilot. And, like, the premise and what's going on, which, of course, we're going to talk about in a few seconds. But I was sitting on the floor, like, kind of next to her desk telling her this. And I went, all right, I'm going to go grab my lunch. And she goes, good, yes, get away from me. You're freaking me out. I was like, okay, watch the show. It's even worse.
Well, I mean, part of it, too, like, I was super excited to see Fear the Walking Dead. Mostly because, like, with The Walking Dead, we get Rick's point of view. But we don't really see, like, how the zombie apocalypse happened.
Exactly. That's what I was looking forward to. Like, I want to know the origin of it, which I know they cannot, for lack of a better term, blow their whole wad in the pilot.
Right.
So we still don't know, obviously. But can I say, I saw two different... I couldn't watch the show until Monday night because I have no cable, A, and B, I went back to work this week. So I was at work until 6:30. On Monday, so I had to watch it Monday night. But when I finally got to sit down and watch it, I had already seen two drastically different opinions on it. I saw one person who really dug it, and another one who was like, I was so bored. It was so slow. I was playing with my cat, and it wasn't even a commercial. And I was like, Now, granted, I don't necessarily trust this person's opinion. I just took it the way I would take anybody saying, oh, I hated it or I loved it.
Right.
So I was a little like, well, let's see what this is. And I'll give it to that person. It is a slow start. But the start of the zombie apocalypse was a slow start. If you remember watching the first episode of The Walking Dead, like, yeah, Rick gets shot and then goes into a coma. But the minute he wakes up, the world is in chaos.
Right.
They're trying to show us what went on while Rick was in a coma.
Like, how they got to that point.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you go into it like that, you know it's going to be slow. And you do see a zombie within the first 3 minutes of the show.
True. I have to say, some of my points, though. So I, unfortunately, did not get to watch it till Tuesday on my lunch. Which is a totally normal thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
At work to, you know, watch the zombie apocalypse unfold before your very eyes.
I watched last season of Hannibal at work. What?
But I was watching, I have to say, I do agree with the fact that it was slow. There were some parts of it where I was like, okay, come on. Also, what the heck was the main druggie wearing in the first
Thank thing? You. I know. I looked at that. Weird... The entire scene, like, in the church with that weird, like, shrug that could have been a shirt at one point but wasn't really a shirt, made him look like a Fabio reject.
I mean, he looked like a drug-addled Eric Von Detten.
That's a good, yeah.
Because, yep. Actually, some of his acting did remind me of Mr. Von Detten.
It was an interesting wardrobe choice.
I was very distracted by it.
It bugged me when I watched the first, they dropped the first 3 minutes online like a week ago.
Right.
Before the thing premiered. And I was like, oh yes, I shall watch this. And I remember tweeting it and going, well, now I'm excited because it was interesting. But I remember thinking that when I watched it initially, like, what is he wearing and why? Like, why?
Yeah.
No, it made no sense.
I mean, that was my first impression of the show, going, who is making these wardrobe choices? We're still in a time where they don't have to forage for clothes. You can still be wearing clothes.
You can still wear real clothes.
I mean, I would have even been better off if he was wearing no shirt.
Yeah. I don't know. I would like to ask the costume designer what they were thinking.
What's happening here?
What were you thinking with the flowy shirt, not shirt?
But then, once I got over my shirt...
Took a while to get over the shirt. I'm not going to lie.
It really did. Like I said, I was very excited for this because I wanted to see how it all began.
Yeah.
It moved super slow. I also think it was interesting that she pulls the smart kid into her office, as guidance counselors do, and he's talking about the zombie virus. Not saying what it is, but talking about it. And she never questions him at all what he's talking about.
She does say a couple times, like, well, who's trying to hurt you? Who are you trying to get away from? But
she says she's directing it because she thinks he brought the knife to protect him from someone at school.
Right.
But then he starts talking, like, they don't know how it's spread, if it is airborne, if it is blah, blah, blah. And he's ranting about this, talking about, which we know.
Yeah.
As the audience, he's talking about the virus. But she never questions what is airborne. Like, what are you talking about?
I know.
And that bothered me a little bit.
I will say the whole, we have to find our son who's a heroin addict, that took up a lot of time.
Yeah, it did.
And it was a lot of time that I think was a little bit unnecessary. But like I'm saying, it's a slow start. So even the one other complaint I saw that was not from the same person who I saw who, you know, was playing with their cat during the commercials, it said that they didn't like the zombies in the show.
How could you say that?
And I sat back and I went, why? Because they're not disgusting and moldy and gross like they are on The Walking Dead. They're brand new.
They're baby zombies. Baby zombies.
Yeah. Baby zombies. I will say I loved when he bashes the truck into the guy that used to be his friend and is now a zombie and he flies down the chute and his, like, exposed arm. Fracture arm yep. was so cool.
I knew you were going to love that.
It was so cool. I was like, oh, that's so gross. That. And that's coming from someone who had just watched Hannibal. And look, you know I'm not grossed out by much. Hannibal made me almost want to vomit this week.
Oh, Lord.
The guy bit another guy's lips off.
That's why I don't watch Hannibal.
That show is great, but disgusting. There's only one episode left. I'm very bummed. Anyway, back to The Walking Dead. I thought that was really cool. I think it was an interesting way for them to go to make a heroin addict the first one to he's not the first one to see one, but the first one for us,
first
the
one
audience,
in our world.
The first one in our world, which is kind of small, to see a zombie and no one believes him because they think he was just on some bad stuff.
Well, see, I was personally waiting, like, so they have him tied to the bed.
I kept waiting for the old man.
Yes. When the old man, like, he kept hearing me, like, is he okay? I kept waiting for the old man to, like, get up and attack him.
I thought he was going to eat the nurse. Like, when the nurse went to check on him and then was like, you're the dog and I'm the owner or whatever. And right. I'm the sitter. I kept waiting for the old man to like grab her. The way they show you later on, the guy on the stretcher grabs the EMT.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's what I kept waiting for.
No, I was waiting for him to like be left alone in the room with the old guy and the old guy be zombied. And like, especially like when the bedpan fell, like I was expecting the old guy to already be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I was expecting that to be the noise that would gain the legs off the tension. And they built
that tension well. I think they built that tension well. Because it like made me jump a little bit when I heard the pan. Not like, because we watch it happen. But when you hear that noise, you're instantly like, oh God, no, he's going to get up and eat him. Because that's what we're used to as Walking Dead fans. So I think they built the tension really well.
That was great. Like, I was waiting for him to, like, come, and I was like, oh, and he's tied to the bed. Like, he's not going to be able to get away. I was like, are we going to kill this guy in the first episode? Like,
nah.
I was like, that would be, not that I want the actor to be out of work or anything, but it would have been cool to, like, kill him off like that.
Yeah, no, I'm very curious who, like, aside from his dealer, who's now dead, I'm very curious to see who the first person in our, you know, little cast to go is going to be. Huh?
The boyfriend. The girl's boyfriend is totally dead.
Racist?
No, he's so dead.
I know, I hear you. Because well, they can't find him.
Because she went to wait for him, and he didn't show up, and he said he, like, had the house to himself. He was home alone, like, no one else to protect him.
I agree with you. I think it's him, too.
He's so dead. And then she's texting him and being like, he's not texting me back. This is not a case of he's not that into you. This is a case of he's been eaten by zombies.
This is not a case of he's not into you. I like that they set this in Los Angeles, and I know a couple of people early on were a little trepidatious about that, but I like that they set it in LA because if you remember, I know I have said it in the past about The Walking Dead, that if it, let's say it originated in Atlanta at the CDC.
Right.
Atlanta is, I have a friend who works for an airline. Atlanta is the largest airline hub aside from Minneapolis in the country.
Really? Minneapolis?
The Twin Cities. The Twin Cities has a big airport hub right there.
What's happening there, though?
Nothing. They just have a lot of flat ground and can make a good airport. I've been there. Okay. It's a nice airport. It's big. Okay. But if you think about it, everyone comes from... Atlanta's the biggest hub. You know, they have a UPS there and everything. So from there, it'll go to New York, Chicago, Los Angeles.
Right.
All the other large cities in the country and international. So if it started there, it would have branched to these other cities. So that's my theory, that it would have started with whatever the CDC screwed up in Atlanta, and it came on an airplane.
I don't necessarily know if it's the CDC that screwed it up.
No, but clearly already in this Fear of the Walking Dead, the government is trying to cover it up.
Well, yes. Well, that's the other thing that I've always said, was that I was interested to see how it was taking place in other cities because of the fact that they flat out, like,
bombed Atlanta.
The hell out of Atlanta.
Yep.
Means that elsewhere it was not happening, and as a last resort, they felt that if they just took care of Atlanta, it'd be over.
Yeah.
However, I don't see the logic in killing a whole city of people when the problem is dead people coming back, just saying.
Yeah, but the government never thinks this through. I'm also currently doing an X-Files rewatch, so I have a lot of conspiracy going on in my head right now.
Oh, dear Lord.
And right after watching Fear the Walking Dead, I went to watch an episode of the X-Files. I forget the name of it, but it's the one with the killer cockroaches. I was like, this is great, great. Death, death, and more death, and government cover-up. This is great.
Death, more death.
Cake.
Lunch.
I'll take some cake. There's no more cake. Or death. So, sorry, guys. Sometimes
it's... Any issue Dressed to Kill, go watch it. You'll appreciate it.
Oh, it's fabulous.
But, so again, I keep hearkening back to this, but I really was excited to see how this was going to start out in a different place, mm-hmm. and it bothered me that the one kid seems to know what's going on, and she never asked him what he was talking about.
Not only that, but did you notice at the end of the episode when they're sending them home from school early?
Mm-hmm.
Him on the bus, he's sick.
He's sick?
Yeah, he's got, like, not just acne on his face. He's got, like, maybe I'm reading too far into it.
I thought it was just, like, acne.
No, I think he's got the virus.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Mind. I might be wrong. I might be just, you know, my conspiracy brain.
Right.
But I was like, oh, he's sick. He's sick. Oh,
I thought he was just acne prone. And I was going to say, I felt a little bad that they decided, no offense to the actor, but they made him look so homely. Mm-hmm. I was like, so the one person who knows the truth is the homeliest person on this whole show.
Well, I mean, they did want the mullet to save the world in The Walking Dead for a little while.
Well, yes, but he had a mullet after being in the apocalypse.
Hey, he hung on to that from 1997.
Fine.
No, I agree with you, but it's funny how they wrote it that way, that, yeah, she's not even asking him, well, what are you talking about? What virus are you talking about?
What is airborne?
She just pushes it off to, you know, teenage crazy and lets it go.
Not even that. She just feels like, she just sort of dismiss him.
I'm going to tell you what it is. It's because the entire episode, she was so worried about finding her heroin addict son.
Sure.
That's what I'm betting they're going to think we think. Like, oh, she's a mom. She's so worried about her son that she can't worry about this kid in front of her and the zombie virus.
That's weak.
It is very weak.
Especially because she pulled him aside.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, it'd be one thing if, like, he came to her and was talking about it, and her being, like, so preoccupied, she's like, yeah.
See, and you know, the other thing, I have a hard time treating this like I would any other regular pilot. Because this is coming from the people who did The Walking Dead. So,
well, also because you got to figure, if you're watching this, there is a level of
knowledge
that comes with it.
Yeah.
Like, there's not many people who are watching this show who have never watched Walking Dead.
Yeah, I agree. Unless they're being forced into it. Like, oh, well, I watched The Walking Dead, we're watching this.
Right.
But, yeah, so...
So there's a level of understanding. And the other thing that really, really bothered me, which is such a stupid thing, like, so when they're in the car, I'm sorry, the truck, they're in the truck and they get stopped for the, you know, beginning of the zombie apocalypse where the guy eats the medic.
Yeah.
They see, like, the lights and stuff. I forget what they actually see to be like, oh, we're getting out of here. But they go, we're getting out of here. And then they are just able to pull off to the side and go away.
Not reality.
They're stuck in all of this traffic. And yet, not only are they able to just pull off and go away, but nobody else thinks to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I understand getting the idea to do it, but there should have been, like, 5 other cars at least trying to do the same thing.
I'm always the person who gets annoyed at characters on TV. Like, the guy in the helicopter or whoever it is who's on the bullhorn says, do not get out of your vehicle. And what's the first thing the two of them do? Get out of the vehicle. And I'm oh, this is why people in horror films get killed. Because they're idiots.
It's true.
But, I mean, they didn't get all the way out of the truck, thank God. I did have a moment of yelling at the boyfriend, fiance, husband, whatever he really is to them, to her, where he goes, get back in the truck. And I went, and I literally, I promise you, I yelled this at the computer when I was watching it. I went, and what are you going to go do?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. He got in the truck and they left. But right. I still was just like, and now what? Now what are you going to go do? Try and see what you can see? You're not even a doctor.
Right. But I do appreciate.
I appreciate, yes, that you're taking care of your woman is great. But no, I agree with you. That is totally not reality. Speaking from someone who drives 95 on a regular basis, that is not reality.
I was just like, I don't drive and I know this is wrong.
So, I mean, all in all, yes, it was slow. And there were moments like that where you just sat back and you went, really?
The other problem too is, again, it's the first episode. So, like, I'm not hanging too much on this.
Yeah.
But thus far, there's no character I'm really attached to.
I kind of do like the daughter just because she seems like she has like intelligence. So I feel like she's
also... They made sure to tell us she's super smart like 5 times.
I know, and that kind of got annoying. But I don't know. The heroin addict son is going to go through withdrawal. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. He's going to be the Charlie.
Oh, no, no, don't make him the Charlie. Charlie died horribly.
Well, thanks for the spoiler.
Hey, listen, it was spoiled for me, okay? I was still loving Charlie. I was forcing my way through Lost, and then I got told that Charlie dies, and I went, now I have no reason to watch this show anymore. I'm done.
I refused to watch the episode he died in.
I didn't. I just stopped.
Well, no, because I started watching right before the last season. And so the last season is the only one I watched in real time.
I didn't watch any of it in real time.
And I found out some stuff. And I found out that, you know, Charlie died. And I asked the boy which episode it was. And then I refused to watch that episode and I skipped over it.
So that's like fast forwarding through that scene in Serenity.
I've actually never seen that episode. You can judge me. It's fine. But
I've never seen it either. I think I was about halfway through season three when I found that out and I went, well, I'm done. I have no more reason to watch the show. I did watch the finale because I had to know how it ended. And I went, oh, ha, I was right. Anyway.
Back to zombies.
So, I think it has promise. I look forward to watching the next episode.
Right. Well, as I was saying, like, it's not that I disliked any of the characters, per se. But there just wasn't one yet that I'm like, oh,
but yes. Not only that, we know better than to get attached to anyone on a zombie
that
show.
Too. But still, like, you still think someone is, like, awesome, even if you know they might die.
That's like going, oh, hey, Catelyn Stark is my favorite Stark. Wrong. Say goodbye.
I mean, she could be, but that wasn't...
She was. That Catelyn Stark was my favorite character, and I did not read the books, you guys. So the Red Wedding was painful.
I'm trying to think if there's any show that I, like, sobbed over anybody.
Death-wise, Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Lori,
well,
and...
I've gotten upset, but I'm trying to think if there was any... Well, because, like, The Walking Dead 2, like, you kind of know who's going to go when.
Yeah, well, I ugly cried over Herschel.
Right, I remember this.
Ugly cried.
Like, you kind of know nobody is safe. You kind of know pretty much everyone's going to die. But I'm talking about a show... I'm trying to think of a show I watched where a character's death came out of left field and made me cry.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet.
I don't think I've had one of those.
I mean, I kind of see Lori coming.
I got upset over Moira Queen.
Oh, man, no. Susanna
but I
Thompson.
Don't think I sobbed.
I didn't sob over that, but I was so sad. And it was so sudden. Nope, I did not see it coming.
It was all shock on that one. I was like,
my Borg Queen jokes aside, I love Susanna Thompson, and I was so sad to see her go.
Her on that show, she was just so great.
She was fabulous. She played a great character.
Because, like, you hated her, but you understood where she was. That was the thing. And she made it so you understood where she was coming from, and so you couldn't, like, straight out hate her?
That and every single scene she had with John Barrowman was electric. It was fabulous. She's great. I hope to see her in much, much more.
And her scene where she revealed to Ollie that she knew what he was doing, just like, oh, thank you.
So great.
And it was another one of those things where it was, Arrow, I have to say, is actually really good about this. I know we're going slightly off topic, but I had a discussion
Don't we always?
We always do. I had a discussion with someone about how annoying it is. It happens on, like, every superhero movie, TV show, or whatever. The person they've been protecting for so long finds out that they are the superhero and then gets pissed off because, how could you not tell me? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, they have saved your arse on multiple occasions. You would not still be alive if not for them. And, in fact, they were not telling you in order to protect you. Great. Awesome. So thankful are you. And Arrow is the one show that actually, like, doesn't have that cliche. I mean, yes, you had Tommy get pissed off. Fine. But the perfect reaction, I think, if I found out someone in my life was a superhero, was Thea's. She straight up hugged him and was like, thank you for all you have done. You have saved me. You have saved multiple people.
I agree.
And I was like, yeah, Thea, yeah.
Well, anyway.
But yeah, so I can't really think of a death that's made me like, I take it back. It wasn't a death, per se. But the last time I full-on ugly cried over someone leaving a show, Donna Noble on Doctor Who.
Aw.
The way they wrote her out, I lost it.
I remember you said you was that the episode that you watched on your own, and there were all the tissues and the ice cream when
I watched it by myself. I was Barrowman was in the city, and I was half joking, being like, "I should go stalk him." I don't stalk people. Disclaimer: I do not stalk. I will never do it. But he happened to mention he was on, he was going to BBC America, which I know is up on 6th Avenue, and I had to go uptown anyway, and I was like, I should walk up 6th Avenue. I did not, but on my way back to Penn Station, I was walking past the Niederlander Theater, where I know a bunch of the guys who work there, and I was going to stop and talk with them, but I made a quick call to our friend Andrea, who never picks up, and she picked up. So instead of stopping to talk with the guys, and this was right around when the show would be, like, seating people, I just, you know, walked past the theater and I was on the phone with our friend and went to Penn Station. I got on my train, I sat down, and lo and behold, on the Instagram, John Barrow tweeted he was at the Niederlander Theater seeing Newsies. So had I stopped to talk to my friends, I probably would have seen him walk in. So I had this moment of like, of course this happens.
That's me. Every time we walk by someone in a group in New York City, I'm the one that's oblivious.
Right. I was like, oh, of course. So I got home, and I was watching, at the time I was still marathoning my way through Doctor Who, and the boy and his brother who lived with us at the time had gone to a friend's house, and they asked if I want to go. I'm like, no, I'm just going to stay here. I had, for some reason, there was a container of Ben and Jerry's in our freezer. They just randomly appear, which is nice. But so I found that, and I had that, and I was eating that, and it gets to the episode where they write her character out, and I lost it. Sobbing, painful tears just coming down my face. I'm using tissues strewn all over the coffee table next to the empty Ben and Jerry's container. And the boys walk back in and just look at me and go, huh, you need a moment? Or are we good?
About an hour, thanks.
Mm-hmm. That was my last ugly cry over a character.
Yeah, I can't remember what my last one was. I want to say it was the ones in The Walking Dead because, well, I mean, last season, no, I didn't cry over anybody, but the season finale of Hannibal last year, you had no idea who was alive. Spoiler alert, everybody.
Spoilers!
Yeah, they all survived it. They did a giant time jump of like 3 years in the middle of episode 6, I think, this season to just move the plot along. So next week's, or this Saturday's episode is the final episode. And they, Brian Fuller has said that it could work as a series finale if it has to. I will judge
that. The Simpsons have a few of those.
Yeah, I will judge that on my own. Thank you very much.
There's a couple of random Simpsons episodes where you're like, huh, and then you realize, like, oh, they thought they weren't getting picked up again.
Well, that was how Castle apparently ended this season, too, and they're coming back for season 8.
Why?
Sorry. So, I actually honestly agree with you. And so do a couple of my friends who are hardcore Castle fans. They're like, no, the way they wrapped it up was beautiful. Why they're doing another season? They don't need to.
I mean, I loved that show. It was the one show I made sure to be home on time to watch live. And a couple seasons ago, they just jumped the shark.
Yeah, they lost me at the beginning of last season. So, but that's okay. So anyway, you know, we've got a bunch of new TV coming back, hopefully, you know, soonish. The next one that I know that I'm looking forward to is Blindspot premieres on September 21st with Jamie Alexander.
That is correct. Oh, the new shows are starting soon. I
know.
I haven't even, I'm so out of the loop.
So, well, now we've got Fear the Walking Dead. I don't know when the last air date is, but I'm assuming it's going to be the week before Walking Dead premieres.
So this will be a nice little...
Which is the 11th of October, which is the last day of New York Comic Con, which we will be at. Yeah.
New York Comic Con. Speaking of New York Comic Con.
Yes.
On the Twitter. Mm-hmm. We've made several little annoying announcements, being like, big news coming, guys!
This is awesome,
guys! We got news! And not told you what it was, because we wanted to give you a super secret surprise. And for those of you listening to our show, you'll get to hear about it first. What amazeballs.
I wish I had a drum roll button right now.
I wish we had sound effects. We should get sound effects.
We should get sound effects.
We'd end up with really weird sound effects, though.
It'd be like the Doctor Who theme. Anyway.
Oh, you know the theme. I love you. All right. So, Kate and I are in a very unique position this year.
Indeed.
Because we went to a party for New York Comic Con.
Last Wednesday.
And we entered the costume contest.
And M1.
Thank you. Adjudicate. But thank you. You know, as you do, you get dressed at work and walk through your office full Wonder Woman gear because it's what you do.
I was right there beside you.
I know, I love it. Because we won a 3-day pass, awesome, we now have a 4-day pass and Super Week card. Just, actually, they were delivered today.
It's like they knew. Reed Pop just knew.
They're sitting in my hand right now. I'm touching them. Ooh, and the 4-day passes are pretty. They have Sheriff Michonne on them.
Awesome sauce.
Mm-hmm. So, since we have this 4-day pass, we were wondering, what should we do with it? Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly we're milking it. You guys know exactly what we're doing with it.
Really milking this.
I am. I have a flair for the dramatic, folks. Henceforth, walking through an office building wearing a Wonder Woman costume. No pants. So, we have decided that we are going to be doing a giveaway. And the prize, the, you know, one and only prize, is a 4-day pass to New York Comic Con and a Super Week card.
What?
That is right. Guys, 4-day passes are sold out.
Have been sold out
within minutes of going on sale back in May.
Yeah, in May. For those of you who did not have to suffer the special level of hell that was the queue for New York Comic Con tickets.
The special ring of hell.
It was a special level
of hell. For those of you who did suffer and did not reap benefits.
Now you have a way to potentially win one.
You've got a way in.
There are many, many, many ways for you to enter. Many, many entries that you can put in. It is a random drawing at the end of it. We have no say. Yes. Although we do accept gifts. I'm kidding. We really have no say. It's a computer-generated who wins.
Process.
We promise we will let you guys know soon enough if you need to book a hotel or what have you. Mm. However, there are some stipulations. You need to pick it up from M in New York City. You can pick it up at the start of New York Super Week if you want to go to Super Week and use the Super Week card. Or you can pick it up on Thursday at Comic-Con.
Or, because I'm super nice, if you'd like to pick it up in advance of Super Week, hit me up with the email. Of course, we're going to email you to let you know that you've won, but hit me up. I do work in Manhattan, so a time can be arranged to come get it earlier.
Indeed. And in exchange, you must take a selfie.
You must take a selfie and hashtag it. Okay, so some of the ways we have you can enter, because I just think it's fun to tell people this.
It is.
You know, why not give you all of the options?
And there are many.
There are several folks. Okay, first of all, there's the general options. Follow us on Twitter. You can tweet. You can tweet every day during the contest.
To get another entry.
Which will be starting tomorrow. And will be ending on September 16th. So that will still give you plenty of time before Comic-Con to get your sitch in order. So you follow us on Twitter. You can tweet. You can tweet every day. Each day you tweet, every time you tweet, you get one additional entry. You can visit us on Facebook. You can follow us on Facebook. Both get you entries. You can follow us on Pinterest.
Tumblr.
You can leave us... No, Tumblr. We don't have Tumblr up here. We could make that an option.
Oh, okay, well,
you should just follow us on Tumblr anyway. you can follow us on Pinterest, as I was saying. And then here are the big bonus ones. If you leave a comment on our blog... And remember, guys, I can see who actually leaves comments.
Yes, we do check this for authenticity.
We do check things. If you leave us a comment on a blog, it could be any comment on any of the posts. It could even be on this post here, just being like, I really, telling us why you want to go to Comic-Con. Five entries.
How awesome this giveaway is. Whatever.
Five entries. Also, because we love cosplay, and my favorite game to play at any con is Spot the Cosplay.
Just don't be in front of her when she does. You hit.
I'm a bit of a hitter. If you send us a picture of your best / favorite cosplay that you have done, has to be you, you have done, you will get five additional entries And we're going to showcase all the photos up on our blog and possibly our Facebook. So that's 5 additional entries just for sending us a pretty, pretty picture of you. Finally, we spend most of our money in Artist Alley.
Yes, indeed.
It's a fact. So we love fan art. So we want you guys to send us your fan art of your favorite crossover that has happened or that you want to see. So you could do Super Hulock.
Ho ho, Super Hulock.
You could do Torchwood Doctor Who. You could do something not involving Doctor Who.
Oh, what is that? There's a story that we have read collectively that has Felicity Smoke going out on a date with Captain America.
Yes.
I would love to see fan art of that.
That would be amazing, guys. So any type of crossover you want to do, Marvel, DC.
Whatever.
Anything you want, but your fan art of your favorite / I really want to see this crossover. Email that to us. Again, same deal. We're going to put it up on the website, possibly the Facebook, and that, too, will get you 5 extra entries.
So many ways to enter. I am so excited to see who wins.
I know. We've been talking about this for months.
We have. We talked about this back when we got our con tickets, because we had one extra, which wound up going to a good friend of ours who was denied a pro pass for some stupid reason. And then this just fell into place. We're so excited to offer this, you guys.
We're so excited to offer this to you guys.
We are so, so excited. So please enter away. We look forward to seeing your fan art and your crossovers, favorite crossovers.
Cosplay.
And your cosplay photos. I love cosplay. So obviously, you know, I do it for a living.
Clearly.
Let me rephrase that. I build it for a living. So yes. Please, please, enter, and we can't wait to see your stuffs.
Mm-hmm. And through the coming weeks, we may put up some additional ways to get some points. Yeah. So
stay tuned for those.
Keep checking back, keep paying attention.
Yep. So also speaking of New York Comic Con, we had some announcements of some people who are going to be there come along the road. I think the last week, I've been getting almost an email a day. Which means that it's almost September and we'll start getting, the people we really want to see. So I know that Star Wars Rebels is going to be there. We're going to get a sneak peek of season 2. We're also getting Finn Jones and Keisha Castle Hughes from Game of Thrones.
I don't know who they are.
Neither do I, but that's okay. We're getting Bryan Cranston and Seth Green from Supermansion.
I'm kind of excited about that. There was somebody else on that show I was really excited about that I noticed when they did the,
I think it's the whole cast
Nerd
that's
HQ.
Supposed to be
when
coming.
When they did Nerd HQ.
Oh, that's right. They did the Nerd HQ. I forgot
They did
about
a Nerd
that.
HQ. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I remember seeing the list of who was on it and being like, oh, that person. I can't tell you right now who that person is, but, you know.
I do know, you guys, just in case, there are still single Thursday tickets available. Just an FYI.
Just in cases.
But the other one, now, I don't really quite think that this is the right market for this, but who am I? So today they dropped that we are getting the cast of Pretty Little Liars, the cast of Stitchers, and the cast of Shadowhunters.
Yes!
Along with the cast of Shadowhunters, we're also getting the author of Shadowhunters and the Mortal Instruments. Yes. So she'll be on 2 panels.
You can see that I have the Mortal Instrument.
Yeah, I have never read them.
Here's the thing.
So basically, it's turning into the ABC Family show.
Wait. I will defend. This is why I will defend. First of all, I should explain. When the script for the first movie that I made, that terrible abomination with what's her face with the large eyebrows.
I don't know who you mean. That's horrible.
Lily Collins, right?
Sure.
The one who was Snow White in the Snow White movie that wasn't the one with Thor.
Sure.
All right. Anyway, when the first script came out, it was so good, it made me read the books. By the time the movie came out, they tweaked the script so much that it was just a pile of...
Oh, that was me with Outlander.
things. It was a pile of things. So, anywho, they decided we're going to make a TV show. Now, for fans of the books, I'm warning you. There are a lot of changes to the TV show. Changes that I don't necessarily think needed to be made, But whatever. I have decided that I'm going to go into this thinking it is an entirely different thing that just happens to have characters of the same name. I think I'll be okay with this. More importantly, I freaking love the cast they assembled.
Yes, that was the one thing that you were very, very excited about.
And so I am excited that these fabulous people are going to New York Comic Con.
Far be it from me to downplay anybody and what they really like. That's great. That's awesome. And it's nice that they're kind of going the ABC family route to bring in a more family-friendly atmosphere. That's great. But the amount of people that were on their computers buying tickets back in May, yes. It's just not the demographic. And I might be wrong.
Listen, I understand where you're coming from. That's cool, ma'am. I'm still super excited for the cast of Shadow Hunter. And we are going to their panel. And by we, I mean me. Anyone who wants to join me?
I was just going to say, pause.
Well, if there's nothing else going on, you'll come with me.
Oh, that's the other thing that I know came out today, because we have a friend who's going for the first time this year with us. And we were like, no, come. We'll guide you through. It's okay. You'll live. She emailed me with the link to the way they're doing the panels. They're paneling the same way they did it last year. They are clearing out the main hall. Your first order of business is to enter the building and then go down and get into the chutes, get your wristbands, and to the floor. They're wristbanding again this year.
Oh, no.
No, it worked out wonderfully last year.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, if Shadowhunters is in the main hall, I'm probably going to have to go see something else.
Well, the thing about it is they do cap the lines at the back, and you're usually only standing in line for 15 minutes until they start handing out the wristbands. So if the other lines are not capped, you can hop in that line and get a wristband.
Right, but I'm just saying.
Here's the other thing. Now they're saying last year they did put the wristbands on you. Mm-hmm. They don't just hand it to you, they put it on you. And they're like, well, if it's torn or it's lost, we can't. We can't be subject to it. Here was my thought with that whole thing. Yes, I'll stand. Let's say there's nothing I want to go to that day, but you want to go to two panels that are in the main hall. You get in line for one. I get in line for one. We both get wristbanded. I cut mine off and I tape it to you. Who's to say I can't do that?
Apparently they are.
But they're not. Yes, but they're not. Like, it's not like I'm cutting it off and I'm handing it to you. I'm cutting it off and we're putting it on your wrist and I'm taping over where I cut it. So it's just, all you're doing is like you do when you go into Wizard World Philly. You're holding up your hand so they can see the color of the wristband. They're not like grabbing your arm and inspecting it.
Kate is now finding ways to cheat the system.
No, I'm not cheating the system. I'm just saying if there is an instance where you want to stand in line for a friend to get them a wristband, right. They're those paper wristbands that can be cut. They're not like the hard plastic ones that you get when, like that orange one you get when you walk into Wizard World Philly because they don't give out passes.
Right.
Wizard World does those hard plastic wristbands that you can't really cut and tape back together.
Because you're not allowed to take them off. And by the way, that is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
I had to wear one to my niece's dance recital one year.
Yes, I remember. There are pictures. So anyway, that's just my thought on the whole thing. Like, if you want to be a good friend and stand in line for another friend, if there's nothing you want to do that day, why can't you? You know, there's no reason you can't do that. Just don't do it in front of the people who handed out the wristband. You know?
Like, I mean.
So anyway,
almost feel like instead of putting it on you, they should hand it to you.
Yeah, but then you have the possibility to lose it.
Well, then that is your own stupid fault.
I agree. And they
it should be handed to you. You either put it on right there. Or, like, walk to the side and hand it to your friend who wants to go, who will put it on right there. And if you decide not to put it right on and you lose it, well, then, Darwinism.
No, I agree with you. But last year, it really did work out well because they clear that hall between each panel. And you just have to know that you have one panel that's your priority. And if you get the others, you get the others.
Right.
So for me in particular, I think the only panel that I went to that was in the main hall was Patrick Stewart's panel that he didn't show for.
No, we went to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, and we went to S.H.I.E.L.D., but that was the only one we wanted to do that day, and that was the first thing we did in the morning. So, they are doing that again this year, and that's cool. They have I think, I might be lying about this, it might have been this way last year, but to me, who is, you know, for the first time going to be wielding a shield, they have changed their prop policy and no metal props. Because I was going to borrow my shield from a friend who has an aluminum one, and...
Which is signed by Clerk Greg.
No, not Mikey.
Oh, no?
No, I was
gonna... Oh, you were going to borrow Heather's.
So. Yeah. I was going to borrow the heat shield.
We have a friend who has one signed.
We do have a friend who has a Captain America round shield signed by Clark Gregg. That is like our favorite story of New York Comic Con last year, and we weren't even there for it. I just love that story. I was going to borrow it, but had to make it instead, which is fine. And they're not allowing in any weapons that look remotely realistic. So, I don't know if they got dinged for that or if they're just being overly... Because I was going to buy a rubber gun. Mm. And now I'm like, no, I'm not letting them take away a $50 gun.
Right.
Which they have bins at the front entrance when you have to tap in and tap out with your...
Yeah, I was like, don't you get them back, though?
I don't know.
I feel like if it's something like, I wouldn't want to go through the hassle anyway of finding out. But, like, I think if it's something...
I'm curious. I'm going to have to
I think they give you, like, a thing and you have to come back for it or something.
Well, at least you can get it back. Because I know there were bins of, like, swords and staffs and these slaved over handmade props. But my other thing is, if it's a handmade prop that I have made, I'm going to take care of it while it's in Comic-Con and not get it nicked. If it's just sitting in a bin with a bunch of others, it's going to get damaged. So just... Go online, read the policy, especially if you're cosplaying, and just make sure you've got your bases covered. If it's a big prop that you really care about and you're afraid they're going to take it away, don't bring it.
Yeah.
Just don't bring it.
Err on the side of caution.
Of caution. Caution? What's caution?
Caution.
So, needless to say, Em and I are really, really excited for New York Comic Con this year, as we are every year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to seeing who else they are going to announce to be coming.
And who decides to show up despite being announced.
They do have a bunch of comic guests announced, you know, people.
Dan Slott
among them. Amy Reeder, who writes Rocket Girl, which is, I've heard, really, really good. Adam Hughes, who writes Wonder Woman. Brian Vaughn, who writes Saga. So there are a bunch of.
Dan Slott!
And Dan Slott, who writes Amazing Spider-Man and Silver Surfer. So yeah, there are a bunch of really, really great comic book people coming, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great show. It's always a great show. So, is it October yet? Can it be October yet? Because I'd really
like... Come hang out and play with us. We're fun.
Yes, we are. So you guys are going to definitely have to come and say hi to us on the con floor.
Especially if you're the one who wins the ticket.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we will be in cosplay at least 2 days.
Yeah, at least. We say only two. We'll see.
I said at least. At least two. Last year we did three. It was a little rough.
Yeah.
We'll see. But I have a new costume today. Well, the group costume is new too.
Yeah.
Yay. Love cosplay. Please send us your cosplay photos. I'm so excited.
Also, although I do love playing Spot the Cosplay, please put what you're cosplaying as. In the email. Oh, I'm super good. I know most things, but I don't want to say something wrong. So.
Yeah, we do know most things. We're pretty good with comic book and TV stuff.
I can even do some video games.
I am not horrible with manga and anime.
Yeah.
So please, please, please tell us what you're cosplaying as.
Unless you're dressing up as Tenchi Muyo, I don't know it.
I greatly admire anime cosplayers because the costumes are stunning. I just don't know what you are. Yes, exactly. So please tell us what you are.
And I will say this also for the fan art. In your email, because you will email this to us at itsallgeektomeradio@gmail.com. The email address is also in the form where you check off what you've done. Please put your name, what you want to be credited as, and what your drawing and or cosplay is.
Please and thank you.
Yes.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
Also, guys.
I had to say it at least once.
I know. Also, guys, Comic-Con.
Yes. Con! Well, okay, I think that about wraps it up. So please enter our contest. Like, I have to beg. I honestly think this is going to be, like, our best entered contest ever.
I should hope so.
Good luck, you guys. I can't wait to see who wins. I can't wait to see your fan art and your cosplay. Mm-hmm. So like Em said, you can email us at itsallgeektomeradio@gmail.com. Our website is itsallgeektomeradio.com. We have the Facebook. We have the Twitters. Our Twitter is allgeek2, the number 2, me radio. Please go over there and follow us. Tweet us. We're a hoot and a half. And until next week, or, you know, whenever we do another podcast, I'm Kate.
And I'm Em.
Have a great weekend, geek guys.